Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Listeners to City on the Hill radio show. We're thankful that you have joined us. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come and learn with us. And today we had a wonderful guest lined up, Ms. Barbara. We had Mr. Dan Parker of CI Agent Solution. He's been on Huckabee, just an awesome man that will tell us what's going on in the energy industry. But unfortunately, something came up, and he could not make it. And we're always so grateful for him giving us of his time. And, he never says no, but something very, very sad has happened. And so he's not going to be able to come and join us right now. But, Ms. Barbara, this gives me a chance to go ahead and do a little bit of an interview with you today. But first of all, we'll go ahead and talk about some news, some things in the news that are politics that maybe you would like to mention to our listeners.
With the Tea Party coming up on Friday, April 15th, and I believe there are going to be Tea Party rallies all over the country once again really speak out for the American people, to speak out that we are very dissatisfied with the direction our country has been going, and we want to get back to the constitutional principles that we were founded upon. You know, I was thinking about the Tea Party rallies and that event coming up on Friday, and how wonderful it is that we do have the freedom to speak. We have the freedom to petition our government for a redress of grievances. We have the freedom to print the truth, and we still have those freedoms, and we need to all be using those freedoms for good, the way the Founding Fathers did. And I think that more and more Americans are doing just that. And so I'm looking forward to the Tea Party rally right here in Dothan, Alabama, Friday night from 6 to 8. And I'm hoping it's going to be a good crowd with more and more Americans coming to speak out. So I'm thinking about the Tea Party movement. And, of course, everything that's going on in Washington and our state capitals as well, all over the country. And just seeing every day the need to get back to the constitutional basis for government. I had an interesting conversation at lunch today with a gentleman who has been a teacher. He's been administrating, an administrator with Christian schools and pastorate, and is currently pastoring. And but he was talking about how, isn't it interesting that when we hear the news and we hear about the debates, that that we're not really hearing the fact that most of what the government is doing, it is not authorized to do so by the Constitution and thus by we the people. You know, we haven't, they're doing things we have not authorized them to do. For example, the funding for Planned Parenthood. There's talk about, well, we're broke, we can't afford funding for Planned Parenthood. But it didn't really come up that, you know, when the Democrats say, well, you want to stop all the funding for Planned Parenthood and you don't want the government in the abortion business funding it and funding mammograms for women and so forth and all the so-called good, unquote, works that Planned Parenthood does. And we need to hear somebody saying, you're right. We do not want to fund mammograms. We do not want to fund birth control counseling. That is not the proper role of government. It's absolutely not authorized by the Constitution, by we the people, you know? So those were just a few of the things that I was thinking about.
We have come a long way, but I have almost forgotten. You know, we always start the show, we like to start the show with asking God to be in the conversation, just like the Founding Fathers, you know, and I always love to, you know, remember that time when Benjamin Franklin spoke up. There they were at the Constitutional Convention trying to form a nation, and they had disagreements apparently, because even George Washington was very disappointed at the way things were going. And the statesman stopped and said, you know, we need to give it to God in prayer at the start of business every day, not just today, but at the start of business. So if you don't mind, Ms. Fogg, would you start us off in prayer?
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, how grateful we are that we can come before you, Lord, that we can bring everything to you, Lord, in our lives and in the life of our nation, all the difficulties, all the challenges, everything that is before us, Father. And there are many concerns that Americans have, and people all over the world have, Lord. We thank you, Father, that we have that freedom of access to you through Christ. The only access that we have to you is through Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh to you, Father God, except through him. We thank you, Father, for that gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. And in him we are secure. In him we are safe. And in him we have everything that we need on this earth. And I pray, Father, that we would, those who are in Christ, that, Father, that we would do what's right in your sight. And, Father, that we would be active, Lord, active in this country particularly, promoting that which is right and good and true the way you would want us to do. We thank you for the opportunity now that we have to speak on the radio, and we do pray that what we say will be pleasing to you and that you will lead us and guide us so that what you desire to be said will be said. We thank you. We ask you to bless this time. We ask your favor, your mercy. Oh God, for we desire to be with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And as Barbara, that word mercy, I just thank God for the fact that, my name is written in heaven. And really, those who accept Jesus Christ, their names too can be written in heaven. But, what a resource it is to be able to give our troubles to God and have faith, because it makes a difference. And throughout this nation, that has been the norm until of the last 50 years. I mean, when we think about George Washington and the picture that we see of him, bending his knees and looking up to Almighty God, that prayer, Valley Forge, I mean, that should be a reminder to all Americans that the greatest resource is the same then and today that George Washington knew and that they can know. And so today, I just really think it a privilege to be able to have you on the show, because a lot of parents are floundering with the way things are. It's overwhelming when you hear the politics, the local politics, the state politics, the national politics. And then listen to your children and how, I'm sure a lot of parents have heard the degradation in the way that their children speak and what's going on in the schools and what's going on around their peers that is unfortunately affecting their own school home, their own world. And you, as a teacher, though, have found something that have worked, and we're going to talk about that. I got myself off, but anyway, I just want to thank God for the ability to do that. But I guess, first of all, let us remind them of what is, out there that they really need to be active in trying to prevent, because they're one of the greatest defenders of this nation's children is them, the parents that are listening, the grandparents that are listening, because they have a passion, they have a heart, an investment into making this a better nation.
Absolutely. And God has entrusted our children and our grandchildren to us, and we are their protection as well as their provision. And it is our responsibility. And back to the good old dinner table, back to the good old ways, to return to the paths of our fathers. There was a time in this country when traditional education supported the parents and stood in the place of the parents, supporting the ideals and beliefs of the parents. And in education, in traditional education, the goal was to transmit the accumulated knowledge and wisdom of the past to each generation. And so you would be passing on those things, those principles that parents and the values, the old-fashioned values that parents and grandparents and great-grandparents desired to have passed on to their children. And then once that accumulated wisdom of the past was passed on, then they could build upon that foundation. They could then stand on the shoulders of giants and build from there. And that's what the ideal was up until recent years. And that accumulated wisdom of the past was first and foremost the understanding that we get from God's Word and how to apply rightly those principles that He reveals to us in His Word. And then, you know, to build upon that, to examine the lives of those who've done that and the great accomplishments and the great changes that have taken place as a result of that, you know, with the various inventions and moving society forward and advancing a civilization, advancing a greater standard, a higher standard of living, making advances in technology and in the medical field and so forth, you know, but that's kind of the idea that we had. And when we were doing that, Diana, we were at the very top in the world in education, in literacy, and so forth, and leading the world in all things. So,
Miss Barbara, if you don't mind, Miss Barbara, can you remind the listeners about Alexander de Tocqueville? I mean, some of them have probably heard that, and what he found, who he was, and what he found.
Well, he came to America in the 1800s, and we were still a young nation, early 1800s. And he and many others came to America to find out the secret to our success, because we were rapidly becoming the wonder of the world. We were experiencing the freedom and opportunity and prosperity and well-being like no other people on the face of the earth. And so there would be those who would travel to America to find out the key to that, why this was happening. So de Tocqueville came from France, and he toured, and he diligently studied everything he could in America, and his conclusion was something to the effect, I sought for America's greatness in all these different areas. And he names them, you know, I sought for in the natural resources. And yes, they have those in abundance, but it's not there. The secret for America's greatness is not there. He said, I sought for it in their educational system, which is excellent, but it, you know, that key is not there. It's not in the government. It's not in the courts. Although all these things are just in excellent. They're excellent. But he said it was not until I entered America's churches with the pulpits aflame with righteousness that I found America's greatness. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And so he was expressing, truly expressing what the founding fathers believed as well.
Wow. Pulpit aflame with righteousness. And sad to say, Ms. Barbara, these days there is a gag rule on a lot of our pulpit pastors. And I think that is a key. And, you know, it's sad that that's happened. And so really it's left up to the families now, you know, to open up their eyes. And I would say even to the Christian that has heard that, there is really power out there that a lot of us do not use of it. And we found that out, Ms. Barbara, with Liberty Council, about what things that, you know, churches can and cannot do. And, I mean, an individual with a knowledge of what can and can't be done legally can go before their pastor and say, you know, let's petition this, let's talk about this or that. And, of course, we, you know, pray about it first, but it is doable. That's something that I think more more and more is going to be the key that opens it up again, because our pastors have a feeling that they cannot unlock their, you know, mouth on a lot of these topics. But in the meantime, we hear more and more that really the mindset of our children, which is the future of this nation, is going to be taken over. The parents' influence is being minimized, and you and I have seen that in some of these Common Core state standards, and the ramifications of that, if that really goes into effect fully as they want it to. Right, Ms. Farber?
That's right. And in speaking about the pastors and how they really can speak out on every issue, you know, the Bible speaks to all of life and is very clear, the principles that we're, you know, we're to bring God's truth to bear in every realm, in every area of life. We are not confined to the spiritual component. We're not confined there. And we're not confined to the church buildings. God's people are to have dominion. God reveals that to us in Genesis at the very beginning, that God created man in his own image and likeness to have dominion over the earth and all the resources and all that is in the earth. Now, some men want to say, no, you can't have dominion over the earth, and you can't bring God's truth to bear in the schools, and you can't bring God's truth to bear in the government, and you can't bring God's truth to bear in the courts, and you can't bring God's truth here, and you can't bring God's truth there. Man is not God. And any policy or decision that is in opposition to God just isn't valid. And our court system going all the way back to Blackstone. William Blackstone, the English jurist who wrote the commentaries on English law that our founding fathers studied, and he was studied and his work was applied up until the 20th century in this country. And his word was basically law. He was the authority. Blackstone was the authority. And he said, you know, any law that is contrary to the word of God has no validity. It is not valid. Because God is the giver of law. And our laws must be based on God's law, and that's why we had laws in this country. Our civil law was based on God's law. We had laws against murder. We had laws against theft. We had laws against blasphemy. We had laws dealing with those things that the Bible reveals. There were laws based on God's law. So, you know, for men to say, for any policy to say that we can't bring God's truth to bear in education and so forth, it's not valid. And I think too that when back in 1954, when the gag rule was applied, when Lyndon Johnson, as a legislator, a U.S. legislator, had introduced this into the system that churches were not free to be political, as they always had been, because politics, government, all of that is an area where God's truth must be brought to bear if we're going to have fairness, if we're going to have any sense of justice, and so forth. You know, I think it scared the churches so badly that they haven't yet stopped running away. You know, they vacated all authority, not only in government, not only in education, but even in social, in society with movies and so forth. There used to be the restraining arm of the church in our culture with entertainment. Well, no more, no more. They turned their backs and ran away from it, went away from that arena, and, you know, took away the restraint of evil. There's not going to be any restraint of evil in our culture, but for God's truth and God's people being there, bringing his truth there, that there will be no restraint of evil. So I think basically it's not a pretty picture, but I think the church has been running away from the battle, from the war and from the battle, and haven't stopped running.
Well, Miss Barbara, it reminds me of, as in the days of Hosea, Israel's sinfulness, and Hosea 4, it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land." And I think there is so much of that because, as you're saying, if the pastor really acknowledges God in all things, he would acknowledge God as Lord over this rule. And, you know, and churches would say, okay, this 501c3 is so that my donation would be tax deductible. Well, I believe I need God's blessings more than I need a tax deduction. I mean, that should not be a novel idea, but I hear more churches are thinking of that because pretty much it's like you say, there's a compromise there. And unfortunately, the price also of the compromise is not just their walk with God, but really when you think about the issue of the children that's coming up, and how even such a law as this national takeover of education that a lot of parents not know, Common Core State Standards, it really makes a way for bureaucrats in Washington to form the minds of tomorrow, the children of tomorrow. I mean, if I was a parent raising young children, I'd be wanting to know more about this subject. What is this Common Core Standard? What are they talking about? They really need to wake up because, unfortunately, most states have already signed on. It was done stealthily by this administration.
The states have been sold a bill of goods, bait and switch, by the Obama administration. If we want to see what a national education will produce, all we have to do is to look at those who are producing it. That would be Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton. You know, this has been her heart's desire to take over education for many, many years. She tried it herself, and she wasn't strong enough to get it done publicly. Now, she did it stealthily, and she's been working on it all this time. And this is her heart's desire for education to be taken over by the Department of Education, and that our young people would be conformed to the image that you see in Washington right now. The people that Arne Duncan, Kevin Jennings, Barack Obama, all the czars, radicals. Now that's what will be produced by national education. That's the image of what our children will look like. If that's not enough to scare you, you must be dead.
Yeah, well, God, Kevin Jennings, God, you know, I just think God is looking down from heaven and, you know, it's like he's giving us a lot of warning signs. When you have somebody like that, this administration chooses to hire and put in such a high place in government, in public education, and he is the founder of the Gay, Lesbian, Sex Straight Education Network, GLSEN, then, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, you know what is going on. It's like you said, look behind to who are those people. I mean, really, it's like definition. You know, you start off with a foundation here, and the definition of who these people are, like Kevin Jennings, my goodness, it's very clear what they're wanting to do. They're wanting to redefine our children's thinking. And, you know, where are our pastors? I would think my heart would be breaking. I saw a picture where one friend sent me an email of Massachusetts children, Miss Barbara, kindergartners, little kindergartners on up, having to listen to homosexual indoctrination in the public schools. And I cannot imagine that.
They convinced them, didn't they? You could see that they convinced those children on that video in that school. At the beginning, the children were puzzled. You could see little questions in their eyes and in their demeanor. And at the end, they were cheering. They had been fully convinced by the homosexuals teaching them that homosexuality was normal, acceptable, that people they know and admire and respect are practicing homosexuals. We've seen that. But, you know, they are, these people that are teaching this will allow no, they will not be tolerant. They will not allow any opposing voice to be heard. When you saw that on the video, it was all one-sided, wasn't it? They mm-hmm. were pushing the homosexuality. They refuse to be tolerant to anyone who opposes it. They shut down debate. They are totally closed-minded, intolerant of anyone that would want to give a different side. You know, and that's how they are. That's how they are when they're in charge of something. It's like they cry for tolerance until they're put in a position of authority, and then they are totally intolerant to anyone in opposition to that lifestyle and that philosophy. It's very hypocritical. It's hypocrisy at the highest. At the highest level, and as you said, what it does to the children is. But now this is what is going to be produced by this nationalized education, Obama's race to the top, the Common Core standards, which we call Common Core standards that are rotten at the core. You know, it's not good, and it certainly will not transmit to this generation coming up the accumulated knowledge and wisdom of the past so that they can build on that foundation.
I have put a lot of links to, we have a good friend, Ms. Donna Garner, who is really, you know, she sees all sides of this issue in education, and she has sent us a lot of articles on this. So, parent, if you want to find out what this is, go to www.cityonhill.tv, and if you'll scroll down the front, you'll see a picture. Like Ms. Barbara says, this is rotten to the core. And you can just click on the links, and you'll get to know so much about this, and it will make you very sick because you're going to see the plans for your own children. And really, Ms. Barbara, it doesn't stop with just public education. We know that their goal is really for every child to get into this indoctrination at some point. You know, right now it's the nationalizing, but then we've also heard of the UN Treaty on the Rights of a Child. And so, you know, there's plans for everyone to be under this umbrella of this mindset. And that's why it's really so important now. I think we've reached a crisis time. You and me as adults, you know, we have a choice to really, you know, find the truth. And if we hide our head under the sand, that's our choice too. But the children do not have a choice.
No.
And I'm thinking that God is going to hold us accountable. for these children, because it's like they have been just, you know, we hear the terminology, you know, just thrown under the bus. We have practically done that. We are going to let our children get run over into that kind of thinking that this sin is all right, and there's going to be a good percentage of them that will think it's all right. And we know what will happen.
And this has,
and,
this has eternal consequences. This policy has eternal consequences. There will come a day of judgment. And, you know, if we allow this stumbling block to be put in the paths of our children where they stumble and they fall, never to rise again. You know, Jesus said it's better that we would have a millstone tied around our neck and be thrown into the sea than cause one of his children to stumble and do the wrong thing and die spiritually, morally. So, you know, we will be judged as well as those that stumble, fall, not to rise again, but we too will be judged by what we do or don't do to protect the children.
Well, I just urge every parent listening, grandparent, please go and find out for yourself and find, you know, don't just believe what we're saying or discount what we're saying, because unfortunately, you know, we know you love your children and you need to find out. Withholding the truth is like withholding the cure, you know. Sin leads to death. And you need to know for yourself, because these little minds, they don't have a choice. But you and me have a choice. But we get to this, Ms. Barbara. Well, I would love for you to share with us some of the things as a teacher that you have found that has really just, I know, just blessed your heart because of what it's done to the children. We all need a lot of help as parents. You know, anybody that loves children, we need a help in how to rear them, because unfortunately they're exposed to so many bad things that, you know, it's really hard to find a way to help them. So if you don't mind, Ms. Barbara, I guess let's go on this other side of how we can help the little child that we're around.
Well, you know, our children need really good role models who do the right thing, who are brave and honest and stand up for what is right. And so we need them for ourselves as well. But it's really important that we hold people that have walked the walk before our children. And there are different ways of doing that. With stories, age appropriate, you know, books and so forth. Another way that I like to do that is with quotes. In the classroom, I have a quote of the day usually by a famous person, which gives me the opportunity not only to talk about what that person has said, but it gives me also the place to talk about the person who said it. So I'm able to really teach about the life of a person who said something worthwhile, as well as whatever they said. And I think that that's really important. I think it's really important in the classroom. And it has been one of the best ways that I have found to really teach what is important. And when I teach, also we look at the, let me give you an example. Today is Thomas Jefferson's birthday. He was born April 13th, 1743. And so in the classroom, I would have a picture, a big picture of Thomas Jefferson, and I would have one of his quotes. For example, God who gave us life gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction in the minds of men that these liberties are a gift of God? So I would, for example, share that quote, and then that would give me the opportunity to talk about the basis for securing our liberties, that we have to know that these liberties are a gift from God, and that liberty is one of the principles that God reveals to us in His Word. And He wants all people to have liberty. And I would go back to the scriptures and also tell how we establish government to protect our liberty, to secure that liberty. That's the reason we institute or establish a government, is to do just that. Then I might bring in, the Declaration of Independence, which was authored by Thomas Jefferson primarily, although there was a committee of five. And but to talk about, that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights or protect these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. So we have government by the consent of the people. So anyway, just one quote, Diana. One quote.
Wow.
And you go back into the author of the quote, and you go back into the primary document, the Declaration of Independence, and then further on back to the Bible, upon which the Declaration rests, the truth. You know, we hold these truths. Notice that they didn't say opinions. We hold these opinions, but we hold these truths. And there's just, a lot can be learned in that way. And, this can be done in the public schools as well as private Christian schools, because you can take the words of a former president, or, Thomas Jefferson was our third president. You could be using it today's his birthday, and you could take the quote and expound on it and teach a whole lot of history and a whole lot of meat, real solid meat that you can chew on, that you can get a hold of, and that makes a difference in our lives, it can be done by anyone teaching children, including the public school.
And it can be done at home too, Ms. Barbara.
I'm just thinking
of that, a parent that sends a child to public school where they don't care to do this kind of stuff can do something like this at home. And like you said, these children need to have heroes. And if you can just day after day, the greatest stories are the stories that God has woven in the lives of people. And you cannot discount the fact that Thomas Jefferson said it. I think this is written in stone. So, you cannot discount that he said it. God who gave us life also gives us liberty. And, as much as people want to say that these people did not believe in God, wow, who is it that's promoting a lie? So I think
Who's being censored?
You could be censored.
who is being censored? Truth is being censored is what's being censored out of education. And, that reminds me then of a David Barton quote. And, before David Barton became a world-renowned lecturer, and he's just revered all over the world as the foremost expert in our history. But he was the principal of a Christian school and a teacher. But David Barton said that the fundamental precept of any sound education is that it be founded upon the pursuit of accuracy and truth. And truth, think about that. If you're going to have a sound education, it has to be founded on pursuing truth and accuracy. And that's exactly what...
Yeah, they're leaving a lot of truth out and accuracy.
They're not
what
being
with,
taught.
From,
yeah. They're not being taught the truth.
Well, Ms. Barbara, share with us. We're running out of time again. It seems like we just got started. But, you know, you shared with me something about George Washington, some things that he had written down and that you use this as a form of correction, but really they are learning some things.
Oh, yes. You're speaking of the rules of civility. Well, as a young man, as a boy, George Washington was given an old English book that contained 110 rules of civility. And so he took those rules for himself to form, they're about manners and how to behave properly. And he desired to do that, you know. So he took these rules. And so I thought, you know, if they're good enough for George Washington and he turned out so well, if he thought so highly of them and they had been formative in his development, then why shouldn't we have that as well? So I took 20 of those rules and typed them up, 20 that were the most relevant to today's culture. And so, you know, if we have any misbehavior in the classroom, then I will assign those rules to be copied. And many times they are learned as well. And it's just, it's good for young people today to read them, to write them. You know, anything that we write down, we have a tendency to remember better rather than just reading it. So so they write them and many times, you know, really learn them as well.
Wow.
And there are some, there are some that, you know, you might want to have them, a few of the rules, maybe a rule that applies to their situation more specifically. You can have them write that one several times, you know, to really make it stick in their minds and hopefully in their hearts. And so I really like those rules of civility. They are very positive. They're positive. They're not, they're encouraging and positive, and I really like using those.
Ms. Barbara, can you share them with us? Would you mind letting me post that? I'll do a little article on today's conversation. Or if you don't mind, if you can write it up on an article under Red, White, and Blue. You know, I think people are looking for help in rearing their children. And these, I mean, what you're saying is nothing that's too hard, but have such an impact because, I mean, they're truth. And that's it. Truth sets us free, I think. You know, I would imagine that these children, by the time you get through with them, they have such a sense of awe for the, you know, the people that went before our time and gave so much. We can indeed have liberty, you know, indeed have freedom. And it's so good that they know who they are. They get to learn who they are. And I would imagine that they end up having heroes.
They really do. I got to tell you something funny because not only have I taken large groups of children, students and parents and grandparents to Washington, D.C. for a tour of our nation's capital, I've taken large groups, but sometimes during the summers, I've taken smaller groups. And one particular summer, I had taken three of our students from our school and a couple of others from a different part of the state. But anyway, we were doing a tour of the Capitol. We were inside the Capitol building in Statuary Hall, and I got so tickled because they were just, you know, they were looking up and just in awe. But one of them said to the other, he said, you know, he said, this is really scary. We know all these people.
They have learned. They have learned. Oh, my goodness.
But
well,
I'll tell you what.
That's how we're going to take back this nation, I think, you know. With children like that who, you know, sees in their heart and mind truly the goodness of this country, and it came from God-fearing men and women. And what a difference they're going to make, Ms. Barbara, because I believe they're the ones that will have a passion for setting this nation back to the way it was intended, a nation that honors God, acknowledges God in all things, because that was the way that it worked. That's really the way that man was made, was it not? I mean, you know, we try to figure out, we have this God, that God, but we're made by, you know, Jehovah God. And I think we keep on searching for him. People all over the world are searching for him. And even when they're in front of their face, I think probably out of stubbornness, you know, because they probably made their very own self the God, you know. It's better to have an earth God, because in truth, we are the God, you know, not the earth God. That's just an excuse to be part of something, a group. Anyway, but it is sad, but it's wonderful to hear that you've got children like this that's taking what they've learned from you, Ms. Barbara, and I'm sure they're going to keep on going and learning more, not because you're going to be watching over their shoulder, but because they've found the truth about this nation and how God
did. That's exactly it.
You know,
that's it. They found the truth, and they do treasure it, and they do apply it. And this is the thing. This is what's so beautiful, is that when we go back and we learn the foundation, the founding principles, then we examine what's happening in the world today. We analyze, we evaluate according to the standards that we've learned, the standards of the founding fathers, which were biblical, you know. Then, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're in Dothan, Alabama, or Austin, Texas, or it doesn't matter where you are or how old you are, or, you know, these factors are irrelevant. If you've learned the truth, you put your finger on it, Diana, if you've learned the truth, then you evaluate from that, you analyze from that, and you come to conclusions from that. So we would end up with the same conclusions regardless of where we are or who we're with, or, you know, if we learn that truth as a foundation.
Well, we hope that the listeners will take that to heart and mind. And to Ms. Barbara, I think, you know, sometimes we intellectualize too much. You know, it's almost like we can fix things if we think hard enough, you know, we can find a way to solve. And we forget that there is a spiritual kingdom, that we're not just physical beings, but we're spiritual beings, and we have a need of God. And so if a parent is out there and they're floundering with their children, they also need to remember about that great resource that George Washington remembered when he got down on his knees and prayed at Valley Forge, because back then from what I remember y'all telling me, you know, they were just in such a bad state of affairs when they didn't even have shoes. You could follow the tracks of the men because of the bloody footprints is what y'all have shared with us. And that's something not every, you know, student learns as true history. They don't even learn that. But so much was given up by these men. And George Washington was on his knees, you know, praying to Almighty God. And you as a parent, if you're having problems with your own children, and we all are having problems with our own country and the way it's been going, we need to remember and take a hold of that awesome God that says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Right, Miss Barbara?
Indeed. And, you know, we talk about Washington on his knees at Valley Forge, and indeed he was. And but he was always, he always began the day on his knees in prayer before an open Bible, and he would spend the first hour of every day in that way. And then as the day closed, he would do the same before he retired. He would spend that last hour of the day on his knees before an open Bible. And, you know, God was able to mold and fashion him and form that strong character through that, through his time. And, you know, today we need to turn off the TV and we need to seek God's wisdom, because ours, as we've said so many times before, our human wisdom is lacking. We don't have the wisdom we need because it comes from God, only in God. And so as we spend time with him in prayer, then, you know, we can learn of his wisdom.
Well, Miss Barbara, in closing, I'm going to pray. I know I always ask you to pray, and you've been so good. And I would like to close this in prayer, and I just really think that, as you said, you know, there's something about getting on your knees if you can. I know some people have bad health, and they, you know, really cannot physically do it. But if you are able to do it, you are of good health, you know. It really does something to you. I think it's the right action of humbling yourself before God. It's so wonderful how when, like, reading the Word does something to you. When you do these things that you know, the Bible says is good, abide in him and he will abide in you, my goodness, you know, it really, you can't put your finger on, you know, that this is going to happen. But it does. It changes you. And that we need to come before him like a little child, right, Miss Barbara? And
we do.
That's what we want to do right now. I'd like to ask you, if you don't mind, just join me on your knees if you can as you're listening. And if you've been one of those that have been so heart sick about what's going on in government, about what's going on in your own home, perhaps, you know, with your loved ones that are floundering and things are not going the right way, we want to remind you of the God that is able. And so, if you don't mind, please join us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are a great and mighty God, and there's no one like you, Lord. No one like you. Lord, we don't understand why you loved us so much that you gave your son on the cross for us, Lord. Such an amazing love. And Lord, you said for us to come boldly before the throne of grace. So right now, Lord, I ask that you would bless the listeners, Lord Heavenly Father. Forgive us where we've failed you, Lord Heavenly Father. Bless them with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Speak to them. Lord, comfort them, Lord, where they're hurting. Help them to find, Lord, the peace that passes understanding. And, Lord, we pray for a blessing upon their children, upon their grandchildren, upon their spouses, Lord. Lord, when there seems to be no way, we just pray, Lord, that you will just show them the way. And, Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you said to come and give everything to you in prayer. Nothing is too hard for you, Lord. So I pray for everyone that's listening, Lord. I pray that they will specifically give it to you in prayer. And, Lord, I ask them to write it down. And, Lord, and then when it's answered, to be sure to give you honor and glory. We thank you for this opportunity that you give us, Lord, to talk to one another in love and to extend that love, Lord, that you have extended upon each of us, Lord, Heavenly Father. And we thank you for your mercy. And we ask these things, Lord, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Diana.
Oh, thank you. Oh, Miss Barbara, in closing, if you don't mind, I'll let you close us with some parting words.
Yes. I would like to close with a verse from Proverbs 22:3. It's an encouragement for us to really be actively seeking truth today and finding out what's going on and what we need to do. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:3, a prudent man, a wise man, good in judgment, foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. We need to find out what's going on, not only for our sake, but for our children's sake, so that we can prepare and do something about it and not just be a victim of it, passing on and receiving the punishment for not knowing and not actively working to for things to be right. So I'll just close with those words, and I hope that all of you will do that. And we just thank you so much for joining us today on City on a Hill Radio Show. And as always, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the radio program A City on a Hill, promoting the Christian biblical worldview. May God bless you richly as you serve the Lord.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the